The metaverse is emerging as the next big technology platform, attracting online game makers, social networks, and plenty of investment. And sure, there's lots of hype surrounding the metaverse, but there's also lots of substance, development, and exciting trends. On this podcast series, Into the Metaverse, brought to you by Bloomberg Intelligence, we will break down the biggest developments and bring on the most interesting minds who are building, investing in, and experiencing the metaverse. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of Into the Metaverse. We're really excited to dive into a really interesting topic that I think a lot of our listeners are focused on, are thinking about, are putting money in. And this is the world of NFTs, of blockchain, of crypto. We've already done an episode focused exclusively on this. We've talked about it in other episodes. We've gotten a lot of people's views on it. One of the large companies that's actually starting to evangelize blockchain powered virtual worlds, NFTs inside of existing virtual world video games, is Ubisoft. And we're really excited today to bring on Nicolas Pouard from Ubisoft. He's the vice president of Ubisoft's Innovation Lab, and he's here to break down everything there is to know about Ubisoft's strategy with blockchain-powered virtual worlds and NFTs. Before we dive into exactly, though, Nicolas, where we are with Ubisoft's NFTs and the strategy, you've had a lot of announcements recently, but one of the questions we like to ask all of our guests as it relates to the metaverse, and obviously what you're doing isn't necessarily building a metaverse per se, but these technologies are going to play a role, we think, in the development of the metaverse. How do you think about what the metaverse is? How do you think about how these technologies can play a role in the development of the metaverse? And I think more importantly, as we've tried to ask our guests, what isn't the metaverse?
For us, when we are thinking about the metaverse, of course, we agreed on some basic facts. Maybe the first one would be to say that it's the future of the web first. It's maybe the simple way to put it. Then you add some ingredients to the recipe. So you add 3D assets in this future of internet. I would add that the first thing is that there is not, of course, just one metaverse, or it's a very abstract concept. And we are starting from who we are at Ubisoft. We are mostly thinking in terms of worlds. We are building worlds. So for us, the metaverse or the metaverses or the multiverse, it's more, I would say, a place where there is different worlds in which people can interact, of course, in different ways. For us, of course, we think that they can play a lot, they can have different activities. And maybe the newest thing among those activities, among all those features, would be that everyone would be in a position to build own a place first. So there is this very important aspect of user-generated content. Then also linked to UGC, there is the fact that everyone could create its own economy or its own business, of course. It's an enabler in a way. And of course, you can add to these different bricks, you can add persistency at some point, consistency. The question of the consistency between different worlds, it's not easy to understand and to see how it will exist, but we know that interoperability will be something very important as well. And so, again, from where we are at Ubisoft, from what we know, our own skill set, for us, Metaverse is really, again, this possibility to create new worlds and to inhabit these new worlds and to, again, have some different activities. And so what it's not, it's maybe more difficult to say because we are at the very beginning of defining what it is. I might add, by the way, that for now, the metaverse, what it is today, it's more like an horizon, a concept that everyone is trying to understand, to reach. And it's like a common objective, I would say, of gaming industry, social media, tech provider, etc. We are all in line to work on this new global concept of the metaverse. So, sorry, it was just an addition. So what it's not. Maybe for us, it's important to say that it's not just a big marketplace. Because when you are discussing the metaverse these days, there is like two different opinion. The first one would be to say that it's a social place first. And the second one would be it's a marketplace or it's a digital mall, you know. Maybe it can be both, but I think it should not be just one of this. So it's not just a mall. It's not just a place to make a business only. There will be a lot of other activities and fun and social place, etc. And maybe it's not also just one thing in the way that it's not just, for instance, the metaverse is not just a Ready Player One, for instance. It's not the same place with different brand IPs in this place, only in VR, etc., etc. It's actually it can be a lot of things, so it cannot be just one of these.
I think you hit on two really good points, and it's something, Yohan, you mentioned the quote because it was really good in our last episode from Ryan Gill from Crucible. You know, the metaverse is the internet built by game developers. That one resonated really well with me, and it does really sound exactly like what you're saying. So I think that was just great to bring that back. And another thing you hit on, and I'm going to jump in front of Yohan before he jumps me on it, is you hit it at the end there. You know, it's not just a VR headset. It's not just Ready Player One. The metaverse is the internet. It's so broad and it's not necessarily defined yet. So all those things you said ring true with, you know, what we've heard from several guests and what we've talked about.
And by the way, you know, great call out, Matthew and Nicola. I think, you know, great that you kind of took a few minutes to really unpack the way, you know, you and Ubisoft think about it. But the fundamental thing that we believe is obviously a lot of the innovation in technology was historically has always been utilized by gaming companies. If you think about game consoles and PC, a lot of the early use of technologies has always been by gamers. And to the rest of the world, in a way, us gamers and the gamer community around the world, we've been living in the metaverse for the last two decades. World of Warcraft, all of these virtual worlds, Assassin's Creed. I mean, these are virtual worlds where, although there wasn't necessarily all the elements that encompass what, you know, we would coin as the metaverse today, but definitely we've been living in virtual worlds for a long time. As a kid, I've lived in a virtual world called SimCity, which essentially you can think of it as metaverse for engineers, right? Already, you know, the notion of that quote that Matthew mentioned as the internet built by game developers, you know, I do believe that at least in the foreseeable future, the metaverse is still going to be predominantly about gaming, about interactive experiences, about play experiences that bring people together. And the second thing you've mentioned, which we kind of honing every single episode, is the notion that ultimately people are going to access the metaverse through any form factor. It could be a phone, PC, game console, VR, AR. And to be honest, none of us is going to drive a car in the next 10 years. So we're going to access the metaverse through autonomous vehicles. And that could be Rivian or Tesla, any place where we actually have the time to access any form of device. And so that's really fundamental. And I believe to some extent, part of our job in this podcast is to make sure that we don't allow organizations like Meta to hijack the concept of the metaverse and make sure that the metaverse is really something that is going to make a true elevation for everyone around the world. And there are going to be multiple players. Switching gears, you guys have obviously spent a lot in the blockchain world. I think there are very few large enterprises in the gaming world that have spent time on blockchain like Ubisoft. And so it's really great to have you guys here today to talk a bit unpack the effort that you've had on blockchain. And really, as you are building and investing in some of these key technologies like NFTs, tokenization is really going to make an impact. And building in virtual worlds, in-game items for the audience, for the people who are less in the weeds, who are listening to the podcast, we would love if you can share a bit more on the perspective of what does Ubisoft thinks about the key benefits of these new technologies like blockchain, NFTs, tokens, both from a developer perspective for you as a developer, and also, of course, from a consumer perspective. And how does those technologies in your mind ultimately serve the wider vision of the metaverse in the longer term?
So maybe just to remind what we did so far. So we worked on the blockchain technology for 4 years now, figuring what can be done for our players internally as well, how it could help our process, et cetera, et cetera. So at first, it was really desk research, seeing what could be done in different industries, et cetera, and in the gaming industry, especially, of course. And 2 or 3 years ago, started to work within our startup program with different very successful startups, actually, Sorare, Axie Infinity, Dapper Lab, etc. We met everyone, worked with everyone to really understand what was the motivation of these entrepreneurs. Why were they so, why were they true believers in this very nascent technology? For us, it was like a mystery to solve. And so starting by working with them, we build our own opinion. We realized quickly that it was deep, very deep. So we needed to build our own team, to start our own internal projects. So we did several prototypes. One of them was shared publicly, I think 2 years ago. It was Ashcraft. It was important because actually it was before the all the craziness around NFTs, even before not exactly before Lancel, but almost before it. We started before Decentraland Lancel, for instance. And the concept, actually, was kind of a proto-metaverse in the sense that we tried at the time to see how we could fully decentralize a virtual place. What would that mean? And so we linked two technology. Blockchain, of course. And at the time, we were crazy enough to build our own blockchain, actually. And so we recreated at the time the NFT standard, etc. It was really crazy. And we linked it to procedural generation. And so actually what we did is that our proto NFTs were the seeds of islands, small islands. And the users, all users, all players actually, were sharing the same network. It was the blockchain actually was owned by all the players. That was the idea. And so all the players could be part of the infrastructure and owners of their own islands. And so maybe, I think it's really where it starts for us, where everything started. Because, okay, we realized that decentralization was a way to think bigger than just a game. When you think about decentralization, you are thinking about how can I share not just a place, not just a product, but the whole ecosystem. And so the core of the blockchain technology for us is decentralization. The question about decentralization is how it can empower all the stakeholders of an ecosystem. So you are now no more thinking about just a game. You are thinking about the ecosystem of a game, meaning that instantly you have not just one kind of players, you have also fans, enthusiasts of, for instance, Assassin's Creed. You know, the Assassin's Creed community is really big. There is, of course, a lot of players of different games, a different time period, but there is also a lot of people that are creating fan art, fan fiction. There is forums, so there is also people that are influencers in this community. For a game like Rainbow Six, there is as well a coach, there is esports team stuff. So we see that the ecosystem around the game is really bigger than just the game. So the real question about blockchain is how we could give tools, how we could empower all these fans and enthusiasts of our communities. So the core aspect of the decentralization, again, is really how to empower communities and how to realize that as a content creator, we are offering the tools and the place and the world where everyone can participate, create its own experience, its own business, its own thing. So that's really the, I think, the way we are seeing how blockchain can bring something to the metaverse. And so since this first prototype, we continue to work with different entrepreneurs in our startup program, the Ubisoft Entrepreneurs Lab. We also are investing in startups and new projects to help the whole ecosystem to grow. We were also founders of the Blockchain Game Alliance. So I think we started at, we were 10 startups, or 9 startups and Ubisoft, I would say. And now we are more than 300 companies. So it's becoming bigger and bigger. And more recently, of course, we launched our first project. And so it was important for us since we worked on the topic for 4 years, we really wanted to jump into this ecosystem with a strong value proposition. So after these years of learnings, we came up with three important principles for us. The first one was, I talked a bit about it actually just before, but it's really how to put players first. That's really the core thing for us, how to give them a real value proposition. To be more concrete, the idea was not to just release some collectibles. We wanted to offer NFTs usable in a AAA game in our virtual world, because that's what we do, that's what we know. The second principle was to build an energy efficient blockchain. It's a huge and complex topic, but for us, it's a strong engagement. We really think that it's important to be aware of the consequences of what we are doing when we are working on a new technology. So that's why we started to work with Tezos blockchain, proof of stake blockchain. So this second principle was as well very important for us. And the last one is also very into the metaverse concept, because for now, to be honest, even if there is a lot of noise around NFTs and blockchain, it's still very niche. It's difficult to say how many people are using on a daily basis blockchain and NFTs, but it's maximum it's few million users. And we know that the gaming industry, it's more than 2 billion people. So there is a lot of people that still have to understand this new ecosystem. It's not easy, actually, if someone wants to just, I would say, a casual gamer just want to jump into NFTs. It's very difficult for them to understand, because they need to understand what is a wallet, what is crypto, where to purchase an NFT, how to just evaluate the value of an NFT, of a team behind an NFT project. What is a good project? What is not? What can I do with my NFTs? Everything is moving very fast, so things are constantly changing. The ecosystem is always moving.
I think you hit on a really good point. I just want to jump in on. You know, you're talking about the size of the gamer population, 3 billion, 2 billion, whatever the number billion, it's in the billions, right? And we're talking about a couple million here, people that own NFTs, and that's own NFTs, not just play NFT games. And, you know, some of the conversations I've had, I've been interacting with people on LinkedIn and other places like Ethan Levy, who's, you know, been outspoken now about blockchain games. He's fully committed and he's making a blockchain game for Network now. You know, one of the things that a lot of people are talking about is if we wind the clock back to like 2011 and we're kind of at the early stages of the free-to-play mobile revolution, right? Where the first iteration of free-to-play mobile games was kind of just like, okay, we're going to just experiment and basically take what we did on console and stick it on mobile and see what happens. And what everyone realized within a couple of years was, well, we did that because we assumed the audience was the same. We assumed that in that case, the console audience, which was the new growing audience, was now going to be the mobile audience. And I think we're kind of at the same situation where we're taking a lot of things that worked on free-to-play PC, console, free-to-play mobile, and just layering in blockchain and NFT. And I think as we start to understand what this new audience is, because there will be a different audience for these types of things, I think we're getting to a point where then we're going to start to see like that second wave of experiments, of games, of experiences that take advantage of these technologies. Maybe it's the metaverse, maybe it's just different types of games like free-to-play casual mobile games were, which brought in tons of female gamers in particular into mobile, right? I think we're on the verge of something like that. And then I think once we start to figure out what that target audience is and we can really tailor experiences there, I think that, you know, something big can really come of that. And so, you know, I think it's been really cool to see you guys kind of be a first mover and experiment. It didn't go so well, at least based on some of the feedback. But I think, you know, given what I just said, there's always been this really vocal, small core of PC gamers that want a story-driven linear game with no microtransactions and no nothing. And they just want their, you know, they just want to play it through and that's it. And when you look beyond that, I think there's plenty of people who are looking for different experiences. One of the data points about Axie Infinity that stood out to me was 70% of the players are in the Philippines. And I thought that was just, you know, crazy, because Now, you could argue that that's driven by crypto mania and just the financial aspect. I don't think I've ever seen a huge financially successful game attract so much of an audience there. So I'm just curious, you've been at this for 4 years. Where do you think we are in the cycle, given everything I just ranted on about for a couple of minutes?
I think you are you're totally right saying that it's a new audience creating new habits, new behavior, and actually it's very linked to what we also what we know about the Gen Z. Actually, they are very much aware of have more financial skills than our generation, older generations, and so for them it's not absurd. It's like a continuity to see that in a game you can add this kind of decentralized finance mechanism. So it's new bricks that you can add to the gaming experience. And one of the reasons, actually, there is a strong theoretical question behind the, I would say, the reaction of the usual audience or former audience. Even if they didn't put it like that, the question is always for game designers, how we can preserve, how we can be sure that players are playing game for intrinsic motivations. And when you add money, when you add monetization, when you add the possibility to earn something, then you add an extrinsic motivation to the game. And actually, it's not contradictory. You can build something with both mechanisms. But if you compare this aspect to the way we were building games for the past 40 years, yes, there is something so new, so different with this, again, this financial aspect that can be scary for some people. So yeah, it's so new that it generates strong reactions. But we are as well, we are seeing that there is this niche of people that are very into it, that are understanding the whole concept. And maybe what we've learned so far is that, yes, we are like, we need to work on both targets, actually. The mainstream audience will become familiar with this concept. That's why, as well, we started just with simple NFTs, cosmetic NFTs usable in-game, because it's the simplest aspect, simplest features of blockchain today that you can add in this kind of games. And it was totally free. The way was really to help them to understand, to become familiar. That's the third principle I was talking about, that the safe environment in which you can learn about all these things. And there is a second target that is really proficient in all those things. Yeah, it's very, very different. They have different motivations, different habits, different behaviors. For instance, we didn't discuss about it, but it's very, for me, it's very, very important to mention the guild, like Yield Guild or other guilds, actually. So that's, again, that's also very, very new. We are seeing that it's like new players in the whole gaming industry. We were discussing, of course, if you are a World of Warcraft players, or if you are in the esport scene, you know what a guild is, of course, but you don't know how it can become something like a cultural phenomena with a level of automatization that is very new. The fact that I don't want to go too much into details, but the simple idea that, for instance, I'm playing a game like Rainbow Six, I play for years, I have all the skins, all the items that Ubisoft had created for the past 6 or 7 years, and I don't play with all this stuff. So suddenly, or not suddenly, but if I'm part of the guild, I can decide to just loan them, lend them, share them with my team or with people I don't know all over the world. I can earn some revenue by doing so, or I can just find new way to share it with some people. Like, again, it's offering a lot of new possibilities. I'm not sure, we were saying that it's different targets, But I'm pretty sure like for free-to-play games, we will see some mechanics moving from one very edgy, again, behaviors or scene to a more mainstream users. But yeah, we will see. We'll see how
I'd like to evolve. I'd like to pick up on the point of mechanics and how do we bring additional audiences. And I'd like to propose maybe a different point of view, and I'm curious about your feedback on that. Obviously, we all want to attract to this next frontier the majority of the world. We want many more people to discover the value and the benefits from interacting and playing games and experiences that are based on decentralized technologies, right? Owning your assets. Having said that, we are in the very, very early stage of the technology introduction. And it could well be the case that the majority of people, those that joined iPhone mobile free-to-play only in 2015, it could well be that it would take a few years for those people. And I think to some extent, the responses to the launch of the skins NFTs that you launch in one of your games, I think the response for the community was obviously kind of mixed. Some people got excited and a lot of people didn't get excited. And to me, at least, my observation was that that's totally normal. People don't like change in general. Very few people like change. People are used to Ubisoft games. They're used to how Ubisoft games work. They don't want to change. And so could it be, Nicola, that at least in the near term, still the majority of the core audience that will engage with blockchain gaming is going to be an audience that is actually looking for that is excited about the possibilities, that is willing to spend the time to learn about what it means to sign in with a wallet, because it's very different than sign in with Google or sign in with Facebook and sign in with wallet. It's very different. And could it be that at least in the next 2-3 years, the majority, although it's going to be small, the majority of the users and the players of decentralized gaming are going to be that core demographic that are looking for that type of things? And if that's the case, if you subscribe potentially to this worldview that I'm sharing, if that's the case, what do you believe as Ubisoft is going to be that sort of 1, 2, 3 core game mechanics, just like in the early days of the iPhone where you swiped the bird to kill a pig on Angry Birds? What are those 1 or 2 or 3 core game mechanics that are going to attract and engage that core audience that is looking for decentralized gaming?
So yes, I can subscribe to this idea. Again, it doesn't mean that we will stop doing the game we are doing now. We will continue to build a strong world, strong game, etc. But definitely, we want to address this new audience. It's difficult to say what kinds of mechanics we will put in place to enter the demand, I would say. But what we can see today is that, of course, all the mechanics of trading card games are really, really strong, really powerful. You can do a lot of things. We worked with Sorare, we worked with Splinterlands. We know very well people from Gods and Chain, Immutable. So it's we know that there is an audience for that, and again, why? Because it's very close to what we know in the reality. Actually, when we play trading card games, seeing it on a digital interface, but with the idea that you can own cards, so that's kind of it's obvious actually. So that's why that's one of the. It's not exactly a mechanics; it's more a genre, but that's something very important. And the other genre. It's MMORPG, or because it's, again, if you are thinking about the opportunities that blockchain is bringing, it's always a question of interdependency and how some players can bring value to the game to other players. In a competitive game, for instance, the simple fact that I am playing the game, it's adding value to the experience of other gamers. Because I'm here. If I'm not here, there is no game. There is no possibility to play. You cannot play alone in a competitive game. So the real thing would be for designer to think, okay, what kind of relatedness I can create between the gamers. It's it's already something that is very important for us in our game today, but that's something that can be even more strong in the future. And the last one I would say is also around this social aspect of blockchain. It's really how you could implement some of the guild or DAO into the game. It's difficult to say no because that's very, very imagined, it's very, very new. But I'm pretty sure that, so now guild are building their own tech platform to allow players to create groups, teams, to share their NFTs, to share their revenue, their earning games, etc. There is a lot of new stuff that are coming. But I'm pretty sure that for the content creators, for the game developers that we are, there is also some of those mechanics that we can implement directly in the games, especially about gifting, sharing NFTs, etc.
You know, kind of one last thing that I wanted to hit on, and you briefly talked about it before, but I think it's something that is really powerful and how NFTs can be enabled, not just within a game, not just within a metaverse, but within a community and building more deeper personal relationships. I think that's something that Yon and I are really passionate about when it comes to the whole concept of the metaverse and, you know, helping people build deeper, more passionate virtual relationships. And you talked about it in your GamesBeat blog post that you wrote about this, you know, quote unquote, create to earn business model. There's a lot of hype right now about play to earn, but I really think that term that you coined out there really resonated because, you know, it really helps us think about, okay, we're not just playing to make money. We're creating, we're contributing to something. We're building relationships. We're building communities. I think that concept is really powerful. There's ways that you can do that without blockchain and NFTs for sure, but how did blockchain NFTs create to earn this whole concept of the creator economy? I can kind of just see it getting put on steroids with these technologies, but just your general thoughts there and how you think that that overall can play out in the metaverse.
So the thing is that, yes, today we can do a lot of things without blockchain, of course, but it's we underestimate what the digital world is. And with the concept of metaverse, we are like realizing, or we are just being more aware that, okay, the digital world is really a world in the strongest sense of the word, I would say. And so, in the physical world, we have physical money. We can interact thanks to this money. It's a huge concept as well, very, very abstract concept. What is money? But the core thing is that it's the money is representing value. And what we need in the digital world to make it a real world, a real metaverse, is that we needed something that could represent value. And actually, with cryptocurrency, we created the first real digital currency. And so it's the first enabler. And then we realized, thanks to NFT, that, okay, not just currencies, but we can have this new kind of object thing in the digital world that has also value. And with the properties of the digital world, meaning more liquidity, very fast transaction, etc. So that's really the core concept. You have finally something that is representing values and all the kind of value. And when we are speaking about play to earn, actually we are saying, okay, we will reward all the contributions, all the value created by players, by users. And that's why it's creative at the core. That's everyone can bring value to an ecosystem. Again, by just being present, by creating some fan fiction, fan art, new gameplay, new game design, etc. There is so many things to do. We know as well that there is a different kind of value, sentimental value, monetary value, of course, gaming value, etc. And now we are able to represent it, to distribute it in a fair way. We can design fair mechanism to distribute all this new currency and new value. So that's why it's so important for the future of the metaverse. I'm very, very bullish about that. I'm pretty sure that without blockchain, there is no metaverse. I know that Tim Sweeney is saying that he really sometimes he's just saying that it's not blockchain, it's decentralized technology. I agree, it's decentralized technology. The idea is with decentralization, you share the infrastructure, then you are creating trust, and thanks to trust, you can create this representation of value we all share, and you can distribute this more fairly. So, for me, it's really everything is stuck together, I would say.
I just want to echo what Nicola said for our audience. That's a bold statement. Without blockchain, there is no metaverse. I think maybe that's a great place to wrap up, right, Matthew? That's a pretty bold statement to make.
You know, I'm not there yet. I think that where I'm at is that there are parts of the metaverse that will definitely be built on the blockchain. And a year ago, I would have laughed at even me saying that. So I'm getting there. I'm not quite there yet. But I can definitely see it, and I definitely, it's a bold call for sure.
I would say there's maybe just one argument would be to say there is no global currency except crypto. There is no global infrastructure except blockchain infrastructure. And so without a global infrastructure and without a global currency, you don't have a metaverse. You have
the gold,
a splinterverse, like the SplinterNet.
Or Robloverse. The gold was the standard for all monetary systems pre-World War I. Bitcoin could become that new standard. You know, there's a great book about it, the Bitcoin standard. I think what you're arguing, Nicola, is that blockchain should become the standard of the metaverse in terms of currency, infrastructure, and so on and so forth.
In fact, that's something that people are underestimated as well, is that blockchain is just a huge and common effort to create standards. That's just it. A currency, a protocol at the core of the blockchain technology, a protocol is a standard that is shared with a lot of servers, nodes, etc. A currency is a standard. On Ethereum, there is two kind of currency. Maybe you know there is the native currency, Ether, and there is a standard called ERC20, which is a standard created to enable anyone to create its own currency. So it's a standard. NFTs is just a standard as well. So it's just, and today there is a lot of effort maybe I can explain a bit more what an NFT is, but it's two things. It's a token, so an ID on the blockchain first. And secondly, it's a bunch of metadata. And of course, there is a lot of criticism about blockchain in games because, yes, okay, you have your tokens on the blockchain. Of course, you have an ID, but the metadata, it's nothing and it cannot exist outside of the game, etc. But it's saying that it is not seeing all the efforts that are made in different tech layer to create this kind of asset standard and metadata standard. If you are looking, for instance, at Wolf 3D, which is a startup working on avatars, and you discuss with Ryan Gill from Crucible, he's also working on that. There is a lot of effort put in the possibility to create this kind of asset that you can use in different ecosystem, different games, etc. So it's coming and actually it's not a surprise. It's not coming from former players, from big companies, except us, of course, but it's that's a Ubisoft moment. it's important to realize that there is a lot of effort made to create this all the layer standards that we are needing, that we need today, to create this ecosystem and this interoperability. We didn't say the world, but that's it. That's interoperability, actually.
Absolutely, Nicola. Thank you so much. I think that's a great point to wrap up on. This was another fantastic episode of Into the Metaverse. I think we've gone well deeply down the rabbit hole of blockchain and NFTs in a couple of our episodes. And I know a bunch of our audience, you know, I've gotten some very high profile followers on social media in this area. So I know they'll enjoy this, and we're going to keep hitting this down the road with more episodes. So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, circle back at some point, you know, after we've talked to other people and put all of it together. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great time. Thank you.